A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fountains of Desire, the masseuse. I come with compliments of the manager.
I'm sure you do. Come in.
Well, welcome everybody to the Really 007 podcast. I'm Tom Pickup, and I'm here with John Kell, licensed to Kell on Twitter, of course, or X. And we're here for another look into the fourth and final Pierce Brosnan Bond film, Die Another Day. So, yes.
Yeah.
And as you can see, we're here with none other than Rachel Grant, who is next to her co-star, which we can see there.
Oh, yes, look!
So there is Rachel with Pierce. And of course, in the film, she played probably the best titled Bond girl ever, Peaceful Fountains of Desire.
I mean, what does it mean? What does it mean to you? Tom, what does Peaceful Fountains of Desire mean?
I don't know. I think it's that sort of Far East mysticism with a bit of class. And I think it's very Bond. When you got the script, did it have the name on? That specific name?
It did, actually. It did, yes. Yeah. Yes, it did. It was Peaceful Fountains of Desire. It was the whole name. All I remember thinking was, oh, she's got a gun and her name's Peaceful. And then I thought, she's a peace. She's a peace. She has a peace on her. That's what I thought.
Yes, that's good.
sorry to lower the tone. I always just thought it was an innuendo.
Well, I think it is because, of course, yeah. Well, there's lots there because when I went on set and you know you get like a guy that comes along and he does the lines with you, and he was an older gentleman and he was telling me how to pronounce my words because they wanted like the Queen's English a little bit, because I say peaceful fountains of desire, right? So he told me, well, you know, you come with compliments of the manager, so what does that mean to you? And you're peaceful fountains. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, oh, yeah. And you're knocking on the door. And then Pierce goes, I'm sure you do. So it was all very exciting and all naughty. And I loved it. Yeah. You know, the old Bond movies with Roger Moore and all those little. Yeah, I loved it. Look, fantastic line. So wonderful. Yes. And there's so much there to it, too. Oh, yeah, I'm not that kind of. Oh, the lines are so good, aren't they? Like, it's like in the few lines there are, they're so good, actually. Yeah. I'm not that kind of customer. Oh, and I'm like, and I'm like, yeah, right. No, I'm joking.
it's such an iconic scene, though, in an iconic Bond film. Sometimes it's the last sort of classic canon Bond film, because obviously Daniel Craig's were in his own universe. So there you go.
Yeah, Yes. And it was so nice to be in a James Bond film, I have to say. And look, it's over 20 years ago, and I'm still talking about it to you. And it's so nice. And I had another podcast this morning, and of course, it came up. And because it was like, what's the favorite role you've ever had? And obviously, Peaceful Fountains of Desire isn't exactly my favorite role or character per se, in terms of like characterization, but I'm carrying it with me to the throughout life. And so it is, I suppose in some ways it has to be, or it's the most memorable, or it's, and yes, and it's so exciting to be P-Fob every day.
Well, Rachel, we spoke to one of the first ever Bond girls from Dr. No, Marguerite Lawars. She's in her 80s now. I mean, she looks unbelievable. She could pass for 50. She was the photographer in Jamaica, and she was just a normal girl who was spotted by the director in Jamaica and cast in Dr. No. And she's still talking about Bond 60 years later. So that's how iconic it is.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to be 80 and you're going to be interviewing me.
You've got a few years on it.
That's going to be so cool. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a long way. Well, yeah.
It shows you how massive and beloved the franchise is. I mean, it was...
I know. And honestly, like one of the reasons why I wanted to be an actor was from watching movies as a little girl in the movie theater or on TV. And my dad, they used to remember, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but when I was little, they would play Bond movies all the time. And my bad dad loved James Bond. He'd have them on. They were on like all the time, I remember. And I remember I loved Roger Moore. I just loved all the characters were larger than life. And it's funny because I thought the Bond girls were amazing. To me, they weren't like weak women. Nope. They were strong. And then there was Grace Jones. And she was awesome. And like, she was really strong. So to me, I would watch Bond movies and not think, oh, women are weak and like sex symbols. I thought quite the opposite. I thought, wow, women are great. We're like stronger than men, and we do things like we have gadgets and all sorts of things. We can drive fast cars. I thought we were great, and I loved James Bond just because of that. And I was like, I want to be a Bond girl. And guess what? I was.
How refreshing, though. I don't know. I mean, we've spoken to
how much. And then there was that scene where Jaws is with his teeth, and he's like on the ski lift. What do you call those again? Anyway, he's going, and he's like,
oh, the cable car. Yeah.
Oh, the cable car scene is so good. I mean, would I watch it now and think it was still good? I think so. I remember thinking it was so good and so exciting. And I bet James Bond was amazing. Like, it was one of the, he was one of the reasons why I loved action movies. And, you know, women, we were portrayed and females were portrayed in action movies. So anyone that says that, you know, women aren't portrayed so well, of course, there's all sorts of women in Bond movies, but I actually looked at Bond movies and thought women are awesome. Yeah, we're so strong. We have guns and we're cool. We can fight boys.
Have you got any Bond girls that were your favourite growing up?
What can I say with that? So I've got, I remember Grace Jones extremely well. And was she only in one Bond movie?
Yeah, only one.
Yeah, she was. So I think, I'm not sure why I remember her so well. Maybe I saw the movie more times I saw it more times than in my childhood. I remember the visuals as a child. So I remember the little petite blonde girl that Jaws ended up with. And I thought that was so cool. I thought that was such a nice touch. She's like, and what's funny is Richard Kiel. So I was actually sat with him on a convention. I spent the whole weekend with him. I sat next to him. He's a really nice guy. He gave me his signed book and what have you. And he told me the original script that Cubby Broccoli gave him didn't have, I don't know if you know this. Have you?
No, not heard this.
Have him with a petite little blonde girl. Right. They had him meeting somebody like him, like possibly with the same condition. That's what he told me. And so when he got the script, he was a little bit uncomfortable with it. And he didn't like that, he told me. So he approached Cubby Broccoli and he said, you know, this isn't who I want to meet in life. My ideal girl, and I think it will play better, is somebody who's the complete opposite to me, like a little petite, maybe blonde little girl. And Cubby loved it and said, okay, let's do it. And it works. And guess what? He ended up marrying a girl that is petite and blonde and gorgeous.
Yes. Oh,
Yeah, he told me that, and I thought that was really nice. Yeah,
but it is smashing stereotypes, isn't it? A lot of this with Bond. People say it's old-fashioned, but they were pioneers in terms of Bond girls, certainly.
Yeah.
So just tell us a bit about your life growing up, Rachel, because you've got a very interesting background, and obviously your mum's from the Philippines, is that right?
Yeah, so my mother's from the Philippines. My dad's British. He was born in Nottingham in England. Both my sisters were born in England, and the middle of three sisters. And then I was happened to be born in the Philippines because they happened to be there in the Philippines when I was born. Grew up in Nottingham. Nottingham is extremely, in terms of the arts, there's a lot there for creative types. Well, there was. I think it's still there, but maybe not as much as it was. So I was surrounded by a lot of arts, a theatre, stage performance. So it was something I always really loved and I was always into, and I always like pursued my dreams with theatre and movies, TV, creativity. And yeah, it was really nice to grow up in Nottingham, and I'm really grateful for it. You say I've got interesting background, like in what way?
Well, I just mean the sheer amount of stuff you've done, particularly since
I suppose so. I've travelled a lot, over 80 countries visited. I have a daughter now. She just turned 3, and she's done a lot of travelling with me.
You've done modelling, you've done hosting, you've done...
Yes, that's all right. I've done all sorts of things. You know, as an actor, you're not always working. That's the same for somebody who... Even when I've had, like, I had a gig on the Sci-Fi Channel for 2 years, and, you know, projects and seasons come to an end. So I've always been doing a variety of things, TV hosting, editing commercials. I edit quite a lot of commercials now, online commercials. I get hired by companies and I do them. I appear in them. They do very well, mostly commercials for products. So I do that as a side gig, and I do very well from it too.
Good.
So, so all sorts going on. I'm attached to a few projects at the moment, and hoping there was a few setbacks with the strike, and I'm hoping one is supposed to be starting actually next month, actually in March. So hopefully it goes along. So yes, all in all, very well, very good. Love to keep busy.
You've got a great website, and I did not realise an advert I grew up with, probably when I was a teenager or a bit older, was that Lynx advert. I didn't realize it was you until I saw your website. How good's that?
Oh, really? That's so funny.
The new fragrance from Lynx.
Oh, yeah, so that was me. Yeah. That was so funny. We were dancing that like everywhere. We got flown to places to dance it. We're dancing it on Richard and Judy when they were on, and This Morning, and all these different shows, and Saturday Night Club or whatever, a Friday Night, and all of this. We're on Top of the Pops.
For the video. It's made, isn't it? The video.
We were dancing that everywhere. It was, I think they had like, I remember being interviewed for an ITV show where they had the top 20 commercials of all time. And number one was some, in the UK, I think, number one was some Michael Jackson commercial, and number two was this one.
Hey.
But it's funny because a lot of commercials that are very successful have great music and dancing because people like remember or whatever. But yeah, I was in that.
You can't have known it was going to be that massive because the song was like released for the remix was released for the advert, wasn't it?
Yes, you are right. No, it's absolutely funny because I've worked on so many projects and commercials where they always say This is going to be the next biggest show ever. This is, I've worked on so many. I can name so many I've done. This is going to, and the contracts have been that thick, and commercials. This is going to be the biggest hit commercial ever, blah, blah, blah. And then, so I've worked on so many. It's like, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be big. It's going to be big. And then when it came to this, we're like, okay, oh, yeah, hey, it's going to be really big, and we're going to be dancing it all over the world. Yeah, right. And guess what? We were. It was like crazy. I was like, okay, that was funny. Yeah, so you never know. Yeah, of course, at the beginning of every project, everybody wants it to be a success and you want to say those things. So absolutely, you can keep saying them too. But yeah. It was huge. It was really, really big. I was thinking they should get like everyone get together again, see yeah. all three of us. And we should do like links, you know, the Axe effect or the Lynx effect. Is the how long ago?
Yeah,
it was really good.
It could probably be a TikTok sensation, that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was saying it could be a real TikTok sensation.
Yeah, maybe if they. It's funny because people do remember it, don't they? I know. It was good. He was amazing in it. The guy that they cast. I remember the director, the production company picked this. The director picked this guy, or somebody whoever picked the guy, the production director. And then, you know, you have like a couple of backups. And I don't think they were so keen on picking him because he wasn't typically your typical looking Lynx guy, right? Usually they, right? If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
A bit of a different look, and he's a lovely guy. I'm still friends with him on Facebook, I think. He has a great expression. And they said that they were convinced this was the way to go, not to pick like your like really suave, good looking kind of James Bond kind that knows how to shave perfectly well and put on his aftershave and spray. No, they wanted somebody that this guy can pull girls. And it's funny because I think when they wrote the script, when they wrote it, they didn't intend for it to be that kind of guy. But when you audition people and you see all sorts of people, and he worked and he's a pretty good dancer. He's also got quite a good, like, he's tall and very slim. So he's got like a good look, and he was great, but he was perfect. And thank God they went with him. It was great. We shot that in Spain, I remember.
One of the other things I want to ask you about, apart from Bond, before we get to Bond, who's meant to be on this, is a massive Jean-Claude Van Damme fan.
Oh, yeah.
You've had the pleasure of working a film with him, which is amazing.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he's so nice. Cool. I was a really big Jean-Claude Van Damme fan when I was little too. I thought he was great. I thought he was handsome. And he could like kick legs like you couldn't believe. And then all the splits he was doing. Yeah. I would be doing that on my... I would put one leg up on the other and then I'd use the sofa at home, the two chairs, then I'd make them roll and I'd be like... I'd be doing all that. And I love Jean-Claude Van Damme movies and he did so many good ones. Yeah, he's so nice. He's really nice, actually. I liked him very much and he's a good guy.
That's good to hear. Cool.
Yeah, no, he's done so many great movies. Right, yeah.
Because you also did martial arts as well, didn't you? You still did.
My background is ballet and dance.
Yeah.
And so it's always good to keep up your other strengths as an actor because you never know when you can use them. So actually Jean-Claude Van Damme had background in ballet also. He was a ballet dancer and a martial artist, but he got his flexibility from ballet. So I was always very flexible and I tried to keep that up. So I remember auditioning for a TV show called Masters of Combat. You know, obviously a look is very important and then ability is after. That's always the case. In you know how you look is important. So I looked the part, but I didn't really have martial arts skills, but I had ballet and dance technique. So I made the most of my in the audition. I made the most of my ballet. I could kick. I could do this, and they were like, "Boom, okay, you can do it. We'll teach you how to do martial arts." So I had a crash course in martial arts for about 6 weeks, but I was really with very good and skilled experts in martial arts. They were exceptional. And I was the only one that wasn't. So it was a little hard at times. And the martial arts world is really odd. They are, I have so many friends in martial arts and they can be quite competitive as well. Like my art is better than yours or the way we do it is better than this style and that style. But my love for Kali, which is a screamer martial arts, Filipino martial arts. My love for that of my Filipino martial arts really blossomed and I continued with it. I still continue with it, but my guru, my master, passed away. He passed away about 3 or 4 years ago. So I don't have a trainer. It's just something I do by myself. But hopefully I can do that again if I can find someone.
Brilliant.
So yes, but I loved it. I love it. I love Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, Jackie Chan growing up, Pierce Brosnan.
What a handsome fellow.
Oh, what a guy.
What do you think? What's so odd about this?
For those watching the video, you'll be able to see, but if you're not, if you're just listening, this is a framed picture of Pierce Brosnan, but it is from Tomorrow Never Dies, not Die Another Day. So is there an explanation for this, Rachel?
Tomorrow Never Dies was before Die Another Day. Tomorrow Never Dies was with Jonathan Pryce.
Yeah. And the world is on the
book. He's on the laptop going...
Yeah, yeah.
I like Jonathan Pryce because I remember watching him in Miss Saigon. Amazing.
I saw Miss Fagin in Oliver at the West End.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
He's so brilliant. Talented on stage as a musical actor. Anyway, so I had a friend who wanted to be an actor and he wanted to join an agency. So I said, okay. He had no experience, but I said to him, join this agency. It was called Oriental Casting. That's who I got the James Bond gig through, wow. Oriental Casting. So you can't really use that term anymore, Oriental, right? But we used to call ourselves Oriental before. So he was, he's Chinese and British. So he got a job working as an extra for 2 months on Tomorrow Never Dies.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, and to say thank you to me on my birthday, and he'd never had any experience working on TV or any film, he went up to Pierce Brosnan's Winnebago, knocked on the door. This is something you just do not do.
No.
He didn't know this. He knocked on the door and he said, hello, Pierce. Do you mind signing this poster for a girl that I really like? And I think she'd really appreciate this. And it's her birthday. And I want to say thank you for helping me get this job on the show.
Oh.
And do you know what Pierce did and said? Pierce said, of course, please come in to my Winnebago. And here is my wife. And here is my newborn baby.
Oh, wow.
Yes, how crazy is that? Apparently he was so nice and he sat down. And while he was there, he said, thank you, Pierce. And in the process, can you sign some more stuff for me? And Pierce did. Like, how nice is that? Pierce was really nice to him. So what is really strange is I got that before I ever met Pierce Brosnan. And from that person who worked as an extra, literally he was one of the Chinese people running away when the helicopter...
The helicopter
coming down.
Yeah.
You could see him quickly, he's like running away as the helicopter, which was like moving along this thing. And yeah, it was like, So that's how I got it. And it's so nice. And I really, really love it. And he put a heart there, see?
That's fantastic, that. That's what an amazing memory.
And then this one up here, that's cool, right?
Is that signed by
everyone?
Yes, yes.
Whoa. All six.
I was at an event 2 years ago. I do this sporting event with loads of really famous sports people. It's a golfing event. And then it's a charity thing. And then they have an auction at the end of the night. And they have all this sports memorabilia. They have like really good stuff, like everything from Muhammad Ali to like Pele, signed Pele stuff. Like cool, really good stuff. And then amongst all of that was that 1 year. And I'm like, hey, what's that doing there? Anyway, it was going for, I forget how much it was going for. And then anyway, at the end of the night, no one had bought it and they were packing it away. Oh. And the lady that was packing it away, she was literally wrapping it up. And she said, I said, how much can I buy that for? Because I was in a Bond movie, I told her. And I said, that would be really cool if I bought that and it's tax deductible and I could hang it in my room. And then I could do like videos in front of it. And she said, I'll give it to you for $250.
What? So $250?
Yes. What?
That is incredible. Oh, my word. But what? Not just anyone could get it. If I asked for it, they wouldn't give it me. But because you're in a Bond film, that must be worth 10 times that at least, I would have thought. That's brilliant.
So 007 GB Club. And they've got an auction that will come up. To raise money for UNICEF. I would say you'd get about 10 times the amount for that at an auction, at a James Bond auction, definitely.
Yeah, you would.
When I went to the premiere of Die Another Day, I got a really cool goodie bag with lots of
Yes.
And I saw it on sale last year on eBay, the complete goodie bag. I think it sold for $5,000. Does that make sense? $5,000
Yeah.
Unopened. And I'm like, I had that. But anyway.
Well, have you not got it anymore?
I've got the things that were in it. Of course I have.
Oh, my. Are these some of them? Oh, look at this, everybody.
Yes.
That's the Aston Martin, isn't it? The invisible car.
Oh, brilliant.
But it's not that invisible at the moment.
It's not, no.
But no. It would be really cool if it could become invisible, though. Do you know, that would be really cool. They should sell James Bond by another day, the invisible car, and there's no car in it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And it's an invisible car, and then they can make money, and it wouldn't cost that much.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and look what number I got. I got number 817 out of 2,300.
Oh, brilliant.
Aston Martin. And then, when I was on Die Another Day set, and Lindy Hemming, the costume lady, and I undressed on the last day, she said, put your underwear and stockings in the bin over there. So I did, and then she left the room. Because we you have to leave everything you touch, flower in the hair, costume, earrings, nothing. You can't even take the script. And I was so good. You can't take any pictures or anything. I wish I wasn't so good. I would have taken pictures of everything, my food, my lunch. Hey, if I had back then we didn't have phones. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
anyway, it is. Taking selfies of everything. I would take selfies with Pierce Brosnan because I chatted to him in the hall. Can I have a selfie, Pierce? Selfie, picture. I couldn't do anything. I've got no memory of it. Well, only in here, which is fine. But as I left, I took my stockings, my PFOD stockings out of the bin.
Oh.
And I had them here. These are the stockings I wore in Die Another Day. So how much will these go for auction anyway?
I think there would be a lot of takers, Rachel. Maybe in a slightly worrying way, but I think definitely.
Yeah. But I also have the underwear, but that's my hand. But that's me only. Yeah, so I also have, so I took those two things. And also, I'm gonna keep those.
Yeah, yeah.
They were in the bin. I only wish I'd kept the ones from the day before. And the day before that, I think they gave me the same pair. I'm not really sure. But no, it was so nice to work on a Bond set, I have to say, because everything is beautiful. And the dress was so magnificent. They got me three dresses first. They were silk, and they were from Shanghai Tang on, I think it's Regent Street. So I remember after doing the Bond movie, I decided to go into the shop to look at the dresses because I wanted to see the dress one last time because I knew it would be locked in the 007 costume vault and I would never see it again. And alas, I have never seen it again until, wait for it.
Whoa.
I was rummaging around. I've been looking for my dress from Shanghai Tang 2002 collection, March 2002 collection, Shanghai Tang, silk. It is from China. And in a thrift store, and there were £1,400. And in a thrift store in Seattle, I am Peaceful Fountains of
Tears. Oh, wow. Oh,
my word.
I bought this for $200.
How much? $200.
Look at this. See? Isn't it so cool?
Oh, that is amazing.
It's not obviously the original dress, but it is the exact dress that Lindy Hemming bought from Shanghai Tang. I've been looking for this dress for over 20 years.
So you've only just got that? How long have you had it?
That's why I had to delay. I said, well, it'd be really cool. I got it.
Oh, right.
So look. See?
Serendipity, eh? Look at that.
Wait.
Oh.
I feel like we're on set now with you as Peaceful.
This is it, and it's so nice. It's beautiful. So I actually have an event coming up in Washington, D.C. in April.
Oh.
A very good event, actually. It's at the Bond in Motion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be wearing this. I'm so excited.
Oh, yes.
That is so good.
But then I'm going to have to put my hair up.
Yeah.
I have to find some earrings, though, that look like that.
Oh, look at that.
And then I've got to find some flower thing that looks like that. But I think I have this. What's weird, I just opened the cupboard before, and this flower came out. So look.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There you go. Look, the partner.
Look at that. That's magnificent.
Oh, my word.
Goodness me.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Yes, there you go.
I suppose when you get the script, though, you don't know how amazing you're going to look in terms of the dress and the makeup and everything.
Yeah, you hope they make you look good, you know.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, it's a Bond movie. You know, you hope the lighting is nice.
Yeah.
Which is my best friend and that kind of thing. No, you just have to, honestly, when you're on set, you just have to forget everything and you just have to trust everyone around you. And it's a James Bond movie and they know what they're doing. They really know what they're doing. So it's nice. It's always so nice to work on a really good set because they have top-notch people. And yeah, so I was really excited about this. See?
Let me That's incredible.
It. Yeah, that can go there. Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Ooh, look
at that.
That is so good.
And let's put this flower here just so it...
Yeah, yeah. Over with Pierce.
Oh.
Oh, here, Pierce. So what else can I show you? Oh, yes. So in the goodie bag, going back to the goodie bag.
Oh, yeah.
Like 10 questions ago, for the premiere for Die Another Day, they gave you really cool things. And in them were these. Look.
Oh.
These are crystal belly jewels. There's only one in there. I do know where the other one is. But what's funny is the reason why I like this, I remember when I saw this, because, you know, it was sponsored by Swarovski. So this came in the... What's funny is when I saw this, I remembered one thing as a kid. You know, you remember weird things from James Bond movies as a kid, and I don't know why I remember this. Wasn't there a movie with Roger Moore where he's kissing some girl on his belly, and then he takes...
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
It's the octopusy.
Man with the Golden Gun.
Oh, it's Man with the Golden Gun. Yeah. I don't know why it was octopusy, because maybe because of the harem, the gun.
Yeah.
But what's so funny is I always remember that. So for some reason, when I saw this in my bag, the first thing I came to mind was, oh, why did they give this? And I was like, oh, yeah, because of the time when he took the jewel. Yeah. That's what I thought.
It shows you're a Bond fan, though. That's brilliant.
I know, but it's weird that I remember weird things like that. I think as a little girl, you remember it, not because it's like, it's not, I don't know, it's just like so weird. Oh, he took something out of the belly button.
Yeah.
Ooh. So, yeah,
you
these are
understand
cool.
it as kids, do you? You just accept it and find it really interesting. You don't understand what Bond
No, exactly. It's not sexual or anything. It's nothing. No, it's just like, oh, look, he kissed the belly button and then.
You really do have a magnificent abdomen.
Right. The jewel. Wow. He got. Oh, and then this is. So I love going to charity shops.
Yeah.
I found this in a thrift shop. It wasn't a charity shop, but it is a thrift shop. Isn't that so cool?
Yeah.
So I found this in a charity shop.
Oh, yeah, this yeah. Is... Look at that.
Oh, great book. Brilliant book.
And it came for $1. $1. And I bought it going, oh, look, Die Another Day. Look, James Bond, Secret World. And I thought, maybe I'm in it. Alas, there's no picture, but I am mentioned in it twice.
Oh, good, good, good.
It's actually a really, really good book because it mentions to you all these really cool things. Do you know this book?
You've got it, John.
Yeah, love that book.
Yeah, I actually quite liked it because it's like quite interesting. It mentions things that you wouldn't normally talk about. And what interested me in Die Another Day, oh, where is she?
Oh, wow.
It's actually really good. It talks about stuff, it's like secret stuff you wouldn't really know. Wait, where is she? Oh, no, I don't know where it is anymore. Looking for, maybe it's here. My name, oh, yes, she's here. It's here at the back. See, I mentioned it. You can see it mentions my name twice. But anyway, it's nice. So do you know this character?
Let's have a look.
So look at the
picture. This lady here.
Oh, yes, she's in the beginning, isn't she? In the torture, the pre-title sequence.
Yes, she is. Her name is Tamara. Now, I'm pretty sure her name in real life is Tamara.
Yeah.
I knew this girl quite well. Every audition I showed up in turned up, she was there.
Ah, right.
Quite nice. It's quite interesting. So I always wondered what happened to her. Because I remember when I was like 24 or something, I asked her how old she was. She was like 45 or something.
Really?
Yes!
Wow.
She was like 20 years older than me and she looks like she's...
She's amazing, yeah.
I know. And
that's amazing.
She was very experienced as an actor in a commercial kind of module. But I always wondered what happened to her. I think she might have worked on Tomorrow Never Dies also.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask you if you knew... Where she was these days.
I don't know. I'd love to get in touch with her, actually. When I saw that, I remembered her and think I used to see her all the time. All the time, like, okay, I'm going to this. Oh, hi. And then I remember, I didn't know she was in the Bond movie until I watched the premiere. I'm like, oh, my God, she's in
this. Oh,
right. I think I did, because I think I might have seen her and she mentioned it. But then I think I was surprised at how you really could notice her. She wasn't like an extra.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, and she looks good too. So that's interesting. So what else do I have here? Sorry, my podcast is with you is quite visual. Oh, this is
brilliant.
It's amazing.
So they see this. This, I got this in the goodie. Oh, did I get this in the goodie bag? Yes, I got this in the goodie bag.
Oh, that's class.
Oh, is it like, yeah.
It's got Swarovski crystals on it. No, yeah. It's for it's a small. It's for a girl. I've never really worn it because I don't want to like damage it. This is stuff or something on it. But it's nice. It's a little T-shirt. But these are original Swarovski crystals. And it's so cool.
That's pretty.
So this was in the goodie bag. But I remember thinking, if this was in the goodie bag and you're like a big dude that gets it, what are you going to do?
Well, maybe you tailor.
It might be in that, though. You know, the tight T-shirt thing.
Yeah, that's true.
The tight T-shirt thing. It might be the design for the men as well.
Yeah, it might be all nice and tight. I know, I don't know how or why. Anyway, that's cool. And then this was sent to me about 2 weeks after Die Another Day finished.
Oh, that's class.
It's really nice. I've never worn it out, but I really like it. And it's a cast and crew.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Oh, that's class.
Look at that.
Look.
Fantastic. That's a good
fit. You have anything on the back?
Yeah, it's good.
The end of the day on the back.
But 007 podcast. There you go.
Whoa.
Another day. It's simple, but it's nice. It's nice. And I've never really worn it. And probably won't because it's nice. I was really thrilled that they sent it to me. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what's this package? And then it was really, I was like, oh, wow. So it's nice, isn't it? This is nice.
Beautiful. They look like after that. You, don't they? Bomb producers. Everyone we speak to is how warm we are. Welcome.
Those little touches were really, really nice. Yeah, it's nice to work on. And like when, I don't care what car I'm picked up in, but when I got picked up for the James Bond movie, it was a nice taxi. It was nice.
Yeah.
Right. I don't care. I can be picked up on a bicycle. I'll be fine. But it was nice to be picked up in a nice fancy.
I do have
a shaker. I got like a cocktail mixer and shaker, but it's somewhere. Mum's garage in Nottingham. I did get that. And then I did somehow along the line, I acquired these. I think someone gave them to me. Look.
Oh, that's the villain's car. Yeah, Zhao's car. Oh, no, he's in it.
You know, quite sweet. You know, when I haven't done too many Bond conventions, but I do enjoy doing them because you meet Bond fans. Bond fans, I really like Bond fans. They're like really classy. They're like mini James Bonds.
Thank you.
They're all like, people give you like nice, like the men, Bond men fans, they're kind of, I don't know, they're nice, they're put together.
Oh, this is great.
I like them. Here, look. Yeah, someone gave me, I love getting these little gifts. So sometimes people think, oh, when you get gifts, they're not going to look after. Now I really appreciate this. That's really cool. I like that. Yeah, well, I've got these little cards.
We'll definitely recommend you to come to a Bond convention. Certainly,
100%.
The 007 GB Club would love to see you there.
I did the NEC twice. NEC, well, that's not really Bond convention. That's like but that was quite nice. I have been invited. I was invited to one in Paris last year, but I couldn't go because of time commitments. And I've been invited to one in Sweden in September, but I can't. I don't think I can go. And I'd love to, but you know, I know I'd like to go. I have this. I wanted to show you. So I have, you know, GoldenEye. Oh, GoldenEye the movie. I really like GoldenEye.
That's classic.
I love GoldenEye.
Amazing film.
I think it's my favorite Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
Talking about, do I have a favorite Bond girl? I really loved On a Top.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She's great. And
don't we all?
So many funny moments with her. And then the reason I particularly like James and that Bond movie, because I was working, ripping tickets at a cinema in London in Notting Hill Gate.
Oh, right.
When it came out, I was working in actually Whiteley's. I don't know if it, I think it still exists, but in the cinema there, ripping tickets. So I was there for opening night when it opened. It was a Thursday night. It opened early. And the movie theater, the cinema was packed. It was really packed. And I was sat at the back watching it, the opening sequence. And when he like flew into that plane, as it, the audience roared with glee, and everybody was clapping and cheering, and I was just like, "Oh, that's great!" And I watched that movie. I must have watched it because I ripped tickets for that movie so many times. I watched that movie so many times, and I really liked it. Yeah, I did. Because it was like Bond a long time.
That was the first one we saw. Well, some of us saw at the cinema, so it was the most special Bond for us when we were like 12. I think it came out. So it was so,
I was 18, 17, 18. Yeah. I remember I was still, I was living in Notting Hill with my sister. So I don't know why I've got this out, but I brought it out because I was lucky enough, and I love them to bits for allowing me to do this. I wanted to visit Jamaica one day. And as I do, I want to visit Jamaica one day. So I wrote and I saw that GoldenEye was there. GoldenEye, I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's quite expensive, right? It's very expensive. But I really wanted to stay, but I just couldn't pay for something like that. Now, even if I could, I wouldn't pay for it. It's just too expensive. So I wrote to them asking them, do you offer any like discounts for Bond girls?
Yes.
I didn't actually say that. I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't actually say that. So I actually do write. I don't write as much as I used to, but I used to write for this magazine. It still exists. So I wrote to them. I said, do you offer any? I'm a writer. I'd love to visit Jamaica. And if possible, I'd love to stay in Goldeneye. I said, do you offer any discounts? And I'll cover it in a magazine I write for. And by the way, I'm a Bond girl.
Yeah. That helps, yeah.
So I was expecting to get like maybe 25% off or 50% off. Do you know what they said? They made me stay there for three.
Oh.
Five nights. How kind is that? Is that so kind?
And
I even got my food, I think, included. They were really, really kind. And honestly, when I got there, Beyonce, I didn't see her. Beyonce was there and Bono was there. Like they have like and I'm like, I'm staying here for free. They have Ian Fleming International Airport there. And they've got their own private, and people fly in there on private jets. But I didn't, of course. But they were really nice. Actually, the lady that was running it at the time, the manager, she was British. It's funny because I really liked Jamaica, and she said, oh, if there's another island you should visit, if you really like this, that has its own culture. She said Haiti. And what's interesting, obviously Haiti's not a place you can really visit nowadays, but I did just come back from the Dominican Republic, which shares the same...
Next door, isn't it?
Yeah. So I do feel I do have the vibe of it was really nice. So anyway, going back to this. Oh yeah, so I did stay here. So I stayed there for free, and I wrote this article. See, I took these.
Beautiful, pictures.
I went to James Bond Beach. See, and then they gave me this private tour of Ian Fleming's villa, which was really nice.
Oh.
I know, it was so nice to go there. Have you ever been?
Unfortunately, not. No.
No.
Bucket list.
You know what you should do? You should get together. Because you can rent Ian Fleming's home, and you can like get a few boys together and try and do it.
Do you think they'd give us a discount? We say we're doing a report for Really 007.
Tell them you. Yes, I know you could do something like that. Oh, and then I'm sat at Ian Fleming's desk. I don't know if that really is.
Oh yes, yeah. I've seen people can go there. Yeah, the public can go there.
Yeah, and Bob Marley. It used to be a donkey racetrack. GoldenEye. Right. But I don't know if this man is still alive, but I think he is. Do you know who that is?
No, he worked there. He
used to be the like houseboy of Ian Fleming.
Oh right. Oh wow. Amazing.
Yeah, so when he was 17, he worked for Ian Fleming. When I met him, he was 80. So now This was like 12 years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
So he'd be like 92, but I don't know if he's still alive, but he told me so many things. He would call, what did he call him? I need to read this article again. Oh yeah, he had to call him Commander, yeah. Just Commander, but he used to say that Ian Fleming would lie on the beach there completely naked. I remember the things he told me. He said, yes, yeah, sir, Commander. He'd love Commander. Would lie on his beach there, always naked. He said, always. Commander was always naked. And I'm like, okay. He was really great. He told me lots of different stories. He told me about how the treasure is buried right in front there. And then every year it comes up, whatever that means. It's some myth. And then if you see it come up, you know where the treasure is. Some like gold treasure. Something apparently crashed there a long time ago.
Oh, right.
There's like treasure or something hidden there. But there's all sorts of interesting stories. But it was really wonderful to visit Jamaica and stay there. It is a beauty. It's not typically the kind of resort I'd stay at.
Yeah.
Because I like something not as manicured and perfect. But I did like it very much. And they were very nice. And that history that they have there. And also, you know, they don't make it so cheesy. It's not like in your face, I'm on a James Bond resort. It's not like that. There's subtle things. Lots of pictures of Ian Fleming. Very nicely done. Very classy. And I really loved it. And if I could ever go back again, I will one day.
Yeah. Well, you're part of that world now, aren't you? You've been in a Ian Fleming's James Bond film, Dying of the Day.
I know. So Ian Fleming, the last book he ever wrote was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, sorry. It's like a bit of a trick question.
Yeah. No, that's a great one. Yeah. I didn't know that he wrote that. That's
what's interesting. It is about a flying car. It's like, again, it's along the lines of...
Yeah, yeah.
Gadgets.
What's really weird is, you know where Ian Fleming's buried? He's buried in a place called Sevenhampton.
Yes, didn't know that, yeah.
I've been... So my father actually lives there, so I go to his grave every single year.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, so many connections here. This is brilliant.
I know, it's really weird. Brilliant. And the church that he's buried in a church, is... I don't know if you know the name of the church.
You're testing us here. We're going to get found out.
Have a guess. What's the name of the church?
St. Ian. No, there won't be St. Ian.
St. Rachel.
James.
Yeah, St. James.
Oh, St. James.
Yeah.
St. James. Yeah, it's St. James. The name of this church is St. James.
There you go.
And what do you think? I don't know if this is true, but why is 007 777? Somebody told me that knew him, apparently, that it's because he's from Sevenhampton. That's where he's buried.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
So the seven, is it the seven, is it like rivers or something?
I can't believe this. This is brilliant.
Yeah. I know, everything is like, he was full of like cute clues and codes and things like that. Who knows? But I remember,
Rachel, you're exposing our lack of knowledge.
Yeah, you are, yeah.
My father says it was him, but I'm not sure if it was him or not. It might have been, but my dad probably did. Do you know when his headstone was vandalized and they removed, it was you, wasn't it?
I'm joking. No.
Because they said it was a crazed fan. You're a fan, but you're not crazed, so you let off.
Yeah, we are weird.
Right? Apparently, it was removed. So my father said he was the first to discover it, or he discovered it.
Brilliant.
Because he like lived there. But I don't know if he did discover it or not, but he definitely saw it the morning it was discovered. If you go there now, they have replaced it, but they've got lots of cameras now, so you can't do it again.
Okay. We won't try anything on, don't worry.
Did you hear what happened to the gun from another day?
Your gun.
The gun that Peafod had strapped to her thigh. Peafod. Somebody called me that once. So
I've not heard that one before.
Peafod. That's an awful name. Peafod.
Yeah. Peaceful.
And like it appears, Brosnan knocks on the door, James Bond, and I go, hello, I'm Peafod. And I come with compliments.
It should be a Twitter handle.
Yeah, yeah.
Peafod. It's horrible. Peafod. Yeah, Peaceful Fountains of Desire. Yeah, somebody, I don't know, someone once did a post on me or something, and they went hashtagged Rachel Grant, hashtag Peaceful Fountains, and then hashtag, I think, PFOD. And I was like, what's PFOD? I was like, oh.
I wish I could claim the credit on that, Rachel.
PFOD.
We'll use it going forward. I just want to know, to go back to the beginnings, and how did you get cast And this is fascinating. And who did you meet with when you were cast?
It was a really weird situation. I'll try it before. So I don't make it 20 minutes long. I will tell you this.
Okay.
I auditioned for Die Another Day on a Thursday. I got the call the day before. It was a Wednesday. And they said, tomorrow, you are going to, not a casting suite, you are going to Eon Productions in Mayfair.
Wow.
They said, it's not a casting suite, it's an office. And might I add, it's a very, very fancy office, really fancy. I don't know if it's still there, but it was very fancy. And we don't have any script for you. They're not releasing it. You will get it there. And I was like, okay, it's to be, it's a character in a Bond movie. They've had a change of storyline. This is what they said. They've had an immediate change of storyline. If you get the job, you'll be filming next Monday. I'm like, what? And Wednesday. And if you get the job, you'll be filming on Monday. So I remember I went along. Oh, I wore a Chinese dress. I just saw it today. I should have worn it. I can still fit into it. That's what's amazing.
Brilliant.
I just saw it this morning. I was rummaging through something and I thought, the Chinese dress I wore for the James Bond movie. So I wore this Chinese dress for the Bond movie because I knew they wanted a Chinese girl. And I'm half Asian. I'm half Oriental, Far Eastern. I'm half Far Eastern. So I knew I needed to look as Far Eastern as possible, as Chinese as possible. I thought, well, I'm not quite there. But I knew for a Bond movie, it could work because people can be mixed. Maybe I'm half British, which in the end, apparently I was half a British.
Yeah, well,
Chinese.
You're very well spoken, aren't you, in the
film?
Yeah,
so exactly. She would have been studied in England or blah, blah, blah. She's working for this. And maybe she's worked for who does she work for, actually?
Yeah.
It was like, whose side is she really on? So that was never really established or what have you. And then, what am I talking about? I forgot. I waffle on.
You did
so
the casting.
Much.
Well, you went in the dress. Chinese dress.
Oh, gosh. What a long-winded story I'm telling. So anyway. I'm tired now. I can't be bothered. So I go into the audition and I knew it would be really hard for me to get the job. So not only did I wear a Chinese dress, I brought my nunchuckers. I really did. I brought my nunchuckers. And I met Debbie Muck Williams. Oh, while I'm waiting in the foyer, and there's this very pretty Korean actress that's waiting there with me. And I know she's Korean because I asked her, oh, hi. We both have the same script. And she told me this. She said, you know, I got cast in a role in the Bond movie, but they changed the script. She said something like that. So I have to re-audition again. And when she told me that, my heart sank.
Oh, right.
And then firstly, I thought, oh, I feel really bad for her. And then I thought, oh, maybe she'll get the role. And then I thought, and I feel really bad for her, so maybe she should. So anyway, and then I forgot about it. And anyway, I went into the audition, upstairs, into this wonderful room. Debbie Muck Williams is there. And there was an amazing chandelier. I remember the amazing chandelier above me because I had this idea to whip out my nunchuckers and do this nunchucker demo. And I'm like, okay, so how high can I do that before it hits it? And then there's always this worry that what if the nunchucker flies out of your hand and then you break something? It's like full of ornaments. So I just literally go, hey, look, I can do this. I literally went, hi, Debbie, just before I do my scene, look, I can do this. And she was kind of, she was busy doing something. And then she just looked up and went, oh, and I could do a really, really, really good nunchucker demo. I could do it through my legs. It's like so amazing. It would blow you away. I kind of can do it still, but I was like at my peak where I could do it. Yeah. Like, and I can still. Anyway, she said, oh my goodness, I have to get this on tape. So she put it on tape. So I actually did my nunchucker demo before I recorded the lines.
Right.
And then I recorded the lines. Yeah. I recorded the lines. And then that was that. And then on Saturday morning, I got a phone call.
Right.
I remember where I was. I was looking. I was at an event for the Mini had just come out. Was it the Mini? The Mini Cooper? Oh. No, does that make sense?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. The new design. Yeah.
I was at an event because I remember when they were offering me, this is so weird. It was like around 11:30, 12 noon. And when I got a phone call, this is no joke. This is so weird. I was being offered a glass of champagne. I was at an event. I think it was the Mini Cooper. It was some car event. I know. Anyway, it was like just some car dealership, and I was being offered a glass of champagne. So when I got the car, I got the glass of champagne in my hand, and it was like, this is so weird. It's like 11:30 in the morning. Woohoo!
Oh, that's very Bond as well, isn't it?
And guess what champagne it was? It was Bollinger. No, any joking? I don't know what champagne it was.
It might have been.
It might have been. You're right. Oh.
Did you get to meet Barbara Broccoli or any of the?
I did. She was very serious, but I think at the time when I met everyone, there was a bit of an odd mood.
Right.
Going on, there was a few like heated conversations on set in front of me. Yeah, I could tell there was something going on. Yeah, right. So yeah, there was a few things going on, but it was really nice to work with Lindy Hemming again, because I'd actually worked with Lindy Hemming on the set of Tomb Raider.
Oh yes,
Angelina Jolie. And it was funny, when I walked in, she knew who I was. She said, when I saw your name, she said, I knew who you were. And she went, Rachel, she went, you've gone from Bond, what did she say? You've gone from body double to Bond girl. And I remember when she said that, I was like, oh, that's great.
That's amazing.
Anyway, on set of Die Another Day, I was standing on set, and then they said, okay, you don't need to be on set anymore. Your body double can stand in place. And you know what I said? No, I'm on set. Don't. I don't need one. I'm on set. I'm not sitting down. I'm not going to. I was watching everyone. I was watching the guy. Every time we did a new take or I put down my bottle, I had like a little, bottle in my hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The guy took it off me and was polishing it. Everything I touched, they're so professional. It's so amazing. Every little detail, everything is like polished and what have you. And do you know how he breaks the mirror, the glass? He throws the ashtray.
Yeah.
So that was, we did that three times, and they came along with the mirror. And I'm like, how many mirrors do you have? So it's made out of like sugar and stuff like that. So yeah, and like everything, it was 3 days.
Was it? Yeah. Was it at Pinewood you did it?
Yes, on the 007 stage.
Oh.
It was it was really good.
On the bed, please. Face down.
Yes, of course.
I'm not that kind of masseuse.
I'm not that kind of customer. You think I haven't always known your Chinese intelligence, Chang?
Hong Kong's our turf now, Bond.
Yeah, well, don't worry about it. I'm not here to take it back.
Put my down.
Put your hands down.
What the hell do you want?
Just to help you settle a score. Zhao killed three of your men. You get me into North Korea, I'll take care of them for you.
What's in it for you?
Chance to get even. Zhao has information I need.
I'll have to ask Beijing.
Do it. Now get out. Unless you really want to give me a massage.
And then Pierce Brosnan was really nice too.
Yeah, tell us about Pierce.
He didn't want his body double on set either. So I got to like work with him quite a lot because we were chatting. Yeah. Yeah, he's really friendly. He's so nice.
Did you tell him about your amazing story with the picture behind you?
Oh, no, I didn't.
We'll have to see him again then, won't you, to tell him?
I don't think I did. No, I'd rather. I'd be too shy to tell him that. Maybe I should have.
Can't believe that, Rachel.
I will tell you, I do know somebody. I had an agent in LA who did have dinner with Pierce one day. I mean, I'm sure when he says I had dinner, it was with other people.
Yeah.
He happened to mention me, and Pierce was, oh, yes, lovely Rachel. He went like that. Anyway, and I know this girl because I know this lady. She's Chinese. She was taking a flight, she told me, from Hong Kong to something or another. No, I'm not telling you. There was a lady I know, she's a very good friend of mine, I'm still friends with her. She is Chinese, and she told me once, did you know I slept with Pierce Brosnan once? I was like, what? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's a Chinese lady. She said yes, and then she told me her little joke. She said, I was on a flight from Hong Kong to, I forget where, it was somewhere else in Asia, and I was in first class. She always travels first class. And anyway, I sit down on this seat, and it's a night flight, so she must have been going far away somewhere. It was a night flight, and then she wondered who would be sitting next to her. And it is quite interesting. You never know who's going to be in first class on some of these flights, particularly like LA to New York. That's first class, like or LA to like Hong Kong. You get some big celebrities. And she said, I couldn't believe it. It was Pierce Brosnan. He came down and sat next to me. I was like, hi. And then anyway, when it was time to sleep, he sent me laid down. And they said, I just turned my head. He was lying next to me. How funny is that? But that would be really weird. Imagine if I like sat on a little bit. Oh, hi, Pierce. Peapod here to me.
Oh, with all the traveling you do, it might happen. You never know.
I know. That's like so funny. I know she told me that joke that she sat in first class and Pierce Brosnan. But he's very friendly. Everything I know that anyone that's ever met him has always said he's very nice.
Oh.
And he is. And that's rare to find, particularly for somebody that's reached, you know, he's such a big star and actor.
Mm.
The director, Lee Tamahori, what sort of insight can you give to him as a director?
Well, he's really intense. He's really good to work with as a director. I think he's wonderful. He, and I don't know if I should be saying this, he said we love, actually Pierce said this, Pierce said we're looking through all the girls, I shouldn't say it like that, looking through a couple of the actors that we liked for this role, we're all together. He said that we're all together watching the audition clips. And that's a little bit unusual because it wouldn't really happen like that. I think it's, they had to view it maybe offset or something because it was like a last minute change. He said, then when we come to your video and everyone's like looking at these nunchuckers and going, okay, we have to get her. And so, and then Lee Tamahori said, you know, I have, the nunchuckers are so great. They've never really been used before. You know, I like the idea of bringing them in somehow, he said, but I don't know if we can or not. He said something like that. And then he was really friendly at the, I was invited to the after party, which was amazing. The rap party. Oh God, that was in some warehouse in East London, and they decked it out to this amazing after party, amazing. And I was just walking around there, and Lee Tamahori comes up to me, and I was really worried, you know, that, you know, I've been in a couple of movies before, and you never know how much they put in the movie and how much they take out. So I was like, if I'm in it, just like 5 seconds, that's fine. If I'm not in it, oh God. So anyway, he came up to me at the after party, because I know some actors that appeared in Titanic, and there was a whole chunk of Titanic cut out, and they were but anyway, he came up to me and went, he remembered me, and he was like talking to me. He was like, yeah, we really like, oh, it's a lovely scene. It's great. It really sets the stage for, he was telling me, you know, it's Bond. This is the first time we're seeing James Bond. He's cleanly shaven. It's an important scene. I was like, oh, did you include me? He said, of course, it's an important scene. You know, it's James Bond. He reveals himself. And do you know that he was meant to be topless in the scene? That's how it was written. Yeah, because it was funny, because I remember reading, oh my gosh, he's topless. And Pierce Brosnan is like, I'm like, because my mum used to have a huge crush on Pierce Brosnan because he used to be Remington Steele, and so that was on all the time, and I remember watching it as I was really a little girl going, oh, look at this guy. Anyway, Remington Steele. Yeah, he's good looking, I admit it, he's cute, I like him. Oh, I did, anyway, I liked him. Yeah, I remember thinking he was one of the first people growing up and thinking, oh, he's a really nice looking man. Anyway, so I'm like, oh no, Pierce Brosnan's gonna have no clothes on. Anyway, he ended up having a shirt on, which is probably probably better, I think, because we're seeing him as Bond, you know, with the in the background, right? They have all those touches. I think, does he put his watch on or there's something?
Yeah, the shaving and everything. Because if you'd have had a scene with him, if you'd had a scene with him about 5 minutes earlier, he would have had the long hair and the beard, the pajamas. Yeah. So you got the better deal, Rachel.
But it is such an important scene, isn't it? Because, you know, he's come out of torture. A beautiful woman's coming on to him. And basically, it shows that he's still got his mind.
Coming on to him? He came on to me.
Yeah.
No, a woman appears, right?
All right, well, okay.
He's doing a job. We didn't know that.
But he's doing the job. That's the thing.
Yes, and there's a bed there. It's classic scene. There's a bed. There's the champagne.
You think it's going one way, don't you? But It's a twist, isn't it?
I tell you, it's, you know, P-Fod, isn't it? You know, it's
P-Fod. P-Fod. Yeah,
but they're really good lines, aren't they? Like, I'm not that.
Yeah,
kind of
they are. They're really nice lines.
Really, yeah,
they are. Every yes, it's they have right. And I did meet the two writers. What are they called again?
Purvis and Wade.
Yeah, they were there. They yeah.
They?
They
yeah. There. did you thank them for the lines?
No, I don't think so. I just remember meeting them, and I met them with Barbara Broccoli.
Yeah.
But they were hanging around quite a bit. Yeah, it was quite nice. All in all, it was very good. I wish I had a camera and took pictures.
Yeah.
I wish I was a goody two shoe and didn't listen to all the orders not to do this and not to do that.
Well, you've got enough memory.
I did take my stockings.
Stockings.
Yeah, I did take them.
You know.
Yeah. Anyway, it was really nice, and it's so nice because I can relive doing this again and again with like speaking to you or wearing this dress at an event in Washington DC. I get invited all over the world. I was flown to Australia once on a gig, and I was with I forgot his name, the Australian James Bond.
Oh, George Lazenby.
Yeah, George Lazenby. Yeah, my God, the stories that he tells. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I was with him for a week and he was most interesting.
Did you?
Very interesting. And
did you meet Daniel Craig then on the Tomb Raider?
Oh,
yeah.
I haven't met Daniel Craig. Oh, I'll tell you a really funny story. I'm born in the Philippines. So there happens to be a Filipino church. It's somewhere in New York. I don't know exactly where it is, but it is a Filipino church. I was walking, I think it's around the Italian. There's like an Italian area and restaurant. Anyway, I'm walking somewhere along there. I'm walking a bit. I suddenly see a church, and outside is hanging the Filipino flag. It's like a small church. So I walk in, and sure enough, there's some Filipino. There's no mass going on. There's a Filipino lady there lighting some candles and stuff. And she sits down, and I sit next to her, and she starts talking to me. And she, for some reason, she asked me what I do. No, did she? No. I know what she asked me what I do, and I said right. I said, I'm an actor and I do this and that. And she said, have you been in anything? I'm like, no. And she said, I was in a Bond movie once. And I didn't say much more because I don't want to go into a whole conversation. Mm. And then you know what she said to me? She said, oh, did you know there is a Filipina Bond girl? Yes, there is one. We have one. She is a British Filipina. And I was like, And then she said, and I remember her name, it's Rachel. And I was like, and then she said to me, and I was like speechless. I didn't know whether to say, oh, this is me. She wasn't connecting the dots. No, she was a little bit whatever. And then she, oh yeah, her name is Rachel Wise. She went, Rachel Wise. Rachel Wise is her name. And I'm like, okay. But I think she got confused because like Rachel Wise is married to like Daniel Craig.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
And yeah, so she kept saying, yeah, Rachel Wise is a Filipina Bond girl. I said, and I just said to her, oh, I don't think Rachel Wise is Filipino British. I don't think so. I didn't have the heart to tell her.
No.
She was so excited to tell me, oh yeah, you know, we have a Filipina Bond girl.
Me. Oh, bless her.
She was an older lady of some kind. And then anyway, that was a funny story. I remembered that one. Yeah.
I think Bond needs to go to the Philippines. I'm not sure he's been there in the film, certainly. I think that'd be a great place.
So actually, would actually be quite a... Yeah, I did think about, it would be really good. What would be really good is you can island hop really easily on a jet ski. And I know you can do that in lots of places, but there is something really cool to doing it in the Philippines. And I actually think a perfect place for him to go to do it on is a place. There are so many islands and nice places in the Philippines. There's a place called 100 Islands where they have these coral reefs and they're very unique and unusual. And the place has got 100, it's got many islands. But you can zip line from island to island. So you can zip line. But you could do something Bond like there where he like maybe paraglides island to island.
Yeah.
And then you can jet ski in quite a cool way too. And what's interesting about 100 Islands is they have these huge giant clams I was part of the restoration program with the corals and the giant plant restoration. Yeah, we went. We would plant corals. So it's quite interesting. So he might. They have these. When the pearls grow inside them, they can be massive. So maybe he could be looking for something that was hidden. The clams are huge,
yeah,
and to open them are very hard. So maybe there's, I don't know, maybe there's something that's hidden there, or there's something going on. Or they also have these coral, they also are hollow inside these islands. Maybe there's like some villain living inside one of them, and then the coral door opens and out comes pearl. I don't know.
Rachel, you need to get on the blower to Purvis and Wade and give them an idea for the next Bond film, I think.
I know, it would be quite interesting.
We've just done a ridiculously long review of the film, really, really ridiculously long. And we're kind of trying to reappraise.
17 hours.
Yeah, many hours long. Yeah, many parts.
That's very long time.
Yeah.
That's very long. Have you heard of I'm sure you've heard of the TV show 007 Road to...
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
You should go on it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Some of us will do better than others.
Is it a good show? Is it good?
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, they're shooting now a season two. They're interviewing
people. Oh, are they? Right, okay. I was going to say, it seems something that you'd probably love to go on it, wouldn't you? The adventuring and travelling.
Yes, I suppose. I haven't actually seen the show, but I've had many people tell me I should be on it. So I haven't actually seen it. So, but it sounds interesting. And it's the only TV show, I believe, made by the Bond people.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, we've actually chatted to a couple of lads in it who did really well.
And are they Bond fans?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. You don't have to be a Bond fan to go on it, but I think it does help with some of the tasks.
Right, that helps. No, you need to be a Bond fan. They probably say you don't need to be, but you definitely have to like James Bond.
Well, that we think so. Yeah,
because you have to have the enthusiasm. If you're not into Bond, you have to have that. Yeah, you have to. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to go on it now. We can go on it together as a trio. Okay, look at that.
That would be good, wouldn't it? I mean, you'd probably fare better than me and John, I think, to be honest. We'll give it a go, though.
Yes.
So people must still talk to you about Dying of the Day. And do they have, like, a good reception of the film? Because it's quite an unusual Bond film. It's more fantastical, perhaps, than others.
Yeah, no, I didn't realise how people felt it was maybe not the best of the four that Pierce did.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard for me to really judge it. I don't really mind at all, because I remember watching things like Moonraker and
some
of the other Bond movies. And this is why we love Bond. It's just one of those where we can. Yeah, I actually thought, but this is what the fun side. This is James Bond completely, and the invisible car. That's right.
Yeah, there it is.
You know, I can take this Aston Martin out of here and sell it on eBay and go the invisible car for sale.
Yeah. No, please don't. You've got to keep that one.
No, this is so cool. I love it.
Yeah. But we want to return to that fun Bond, I think. The fun Bond that you were in.
Yeah.
A lot of people we know who aren't massive Bond fans love Die Another Day, because it is just escapist fun, we think.
Yes, it is. It is fun. It is good. I think so. I'm surprised that people would say that so much, because we forget what Bond is, really. Maybe it's the changing times. I like it. I mean, it's hard for me to watch it, but I think the moments that they're thinking of it, as I said, it reminds me of a lot of the older stuff. That's why we love going to the movies. That's why we love James Bond to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and I know as a kid, I would have loved... Yeah. I would have loved Die Another Day. That's, I'm sure loads of kids watched that and thought, wow. Yeah.
To ask you about the premiere, you went to the Die Another Day premiere, did you, in the West End?
It was at the Royal Albert Court.
Oh, was it? Oh, lovely, right.
It was, and the Queen attended, because it was for her, it was for her Jubilee.
Yeah.
Which year was that?
Oh. 50.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Golden Jubilee.
Golden Jubilee. Yeah, so it was for her, and she loves Bond movies. So she went. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Wow. I mean, yeah, so it was a really amazing. I brought my mother with me.
Oh, and lovely.
It was so nice. It was really nice to go to it. And it was funny because when my scene came up,
yeah.
I was really nervous when it was coming. And I didn't look at it once. I looked down. I was like, kept saying, is it over? I just didn't want to see it. I just couldn't cope with it. It was like on the big screen and everybody's watching it. I couldn't cope with it. I couldn't cope with it. And I think the first time I ever saw me on the, I couldn't cope with it. I had that problem. I have that problem with watching myself. So what happened was the first time I ever saw me in Die Another Day was even when I had my new show reel edited, it was very hard for me to watch, but I actually saw it before then. I was flying on a plane. I think I was going to the Philippines. And do you remember how on planes, it must have been an old plane, we had our own TV screen, but everything played the same thing. Do you remember?
So
and then it would play on the big screen where everybody could see it, and then everything played on the same thing. So I remember like kind of dozing off and then waking up and looking at the screen, and I was like, oh my God, there's my thighs. I know, they were my thighs. I saw my thighs and I saw the gun and the pink dress, and that pink dress is so obvious to me. And then I suddenly saw this gun and it was all on all the TV screens. It was like I was in a nightmare. I was like, I'm on a plane, and everywhere around me is showing me. And that's literally, I woke up and I saw my thigh, a gun coming out of my leg and a gun doing this to my neck. It was like a nightmare. And that's the first time I ever saw myself on TV.
Oh.
And everybody was watching it. It was like repetition. And I was sitting on an aisle seat. And I literally could see everyone on the big screen. I'm like,
So Rachel, you can say that the Queen has seen your performance before you did.
Oh, yes. Did you know I'm related to the Queen?
Are you really?
Yeah. And when my grandfather was second cousin to the Queen, and when he passed away, I wrote to her. She acknowledged that we were related. Oh, yeah, when the Bond movie was coming out, Bond girl on Her Majesty's secret mission or service.
Oh.
Yeah, Queen's cousin, William and Harry's cousin. Yeah, my great-grandmother was Ernestine Bowes Lyon. She was, so my father's family, Scottish origin, that's where we get the Grant from. And we're the Bowes Lyon family. The Queen Mother's family. So the Queen Mother's family, she married obviously the King. And then, yeah, so that's how I'm related.
Fantastic.
But I do have a lovely letter from Buckingham Palace with her kind words. What's funny is when I sent her my best wishes and love in the letter, and she wrote back, best wishes too. It wasn't so formal.
Oh, this is amazing. Fantastic, Rachel.
Queenie. And I have, yeah, Queenie.
In America, in Memphis, there is honestly the biggest Bond fan ever. Lorenzo, he's called. His favourite films are The World Is Not Enough and Die Another Day. He's obsessed with Pierce Brosnan. And I didn't know whether you could sort of just give him a shout out, give him a hello. He's called Lorenzo.
Lorenzo! Where are you in Memphis? Lorenzo! I am peaceful fountains of desire, Lorenzo.
Peaceful,
and I wish you peace. Big kiss to you. Lorenzo. I finished the podcast. I forgot to talk about my opera. Yeah, my grandmother was also an opera singer, so...
Goodness me.
Was that good enough for Lorenzo? Hi, Lorenzo. It's so nice. You're a Bond fan. I love Bond fans.
Rachel, unbelievable. Thank you so much.
But thank you so much. And thank you for making a mess of my studio room, because I have to come back and tidy it up now. All right. Bye so much. Thank you, Tom and John. Peace.
Thank you, Rachel.
Bye-bye.
You can hear loads of our other episodes on iTunes, Spotify, and our YouTube channel, where we have interviews, special episodes, and reviews of all the Bond films. Simply search Really 007 Pod, and you should find loads of weird and wonderful content.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.